welcome to Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. I'm your host, Doug Hall. And each 30 minutes show highlights an artist and their music. And today we have Ken Gable with us as our guest. And he is a music instructor and band leader within the Belmont Middle School. And there represents 6th and 7th and 8th grade.
Actually, 7th and 8th grade.
7th and 8th grade. Okay, great. Well, welcome to our show, Ken. And I just thought I would start with a question a little bit about your background, talking a little bit about your experience going to school at the Berklee College of Music and what that experience was like and the specialty of your study and your instrument, the saxophone.
Yeah, I had an amazing experience at Berklee. Started there in 1990 and was going for a bachelor's in music education. But at the time, I was also doing a lot of playing. So I took a lot of performance classes, and I had some wonderful private instructors. I had a chance to study with Joe Viola, Billy Pierce, and then also outside of Berklee working with Jerry Baganzi. But some of those experiences were fantastic. And I think one of the most amazing experiences I had was getting a chance to play in Herb Pomeroy's band.
Oh, okay.
One of the kindest human beings I've ever met, very talented, and he just knew exactly what to say to a band, and we would just play something again and completely transform. And I've never been, still to this day, been around a conductor of that caliber. He could hear, we could be playing some really fast bebop line, all harmonized, and he'd stop and be like, trombone 3, you missed a B flat on the end of 2. And he's like, yeah, I did. So it was like, it was remarkable. So I had a lot of great experiences there from the performing side of things, and the music ed department was solid. And so, I got a really great experience overall.
Great. And are there takeaways of lifelong mentorships with some musicians, some people that you go back to bounce ideas off or reconnect with musically?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the people I played with, before I had left Massachusetts, I still connect with them, still play with them from time to time. It's been a great experience in general.
Great. And as you and I talked about earlier, you went out to LA and you had an experience performing out there for a period of 6 years?
Yep.
Could you talk a little bit about that experience as it relates to what it's like to graduate as a musician from a school of music and then finding opportunities, particularly in the Los Angeles environment?
Yeah. And actually, I'll just step back 6 years, because when I left Massachusetts, I actually went to New York first.
Okay.
And that's where I did my graduate studies at Queens College under Michael Mossman. Amazing trumpet player, educator, arranger. I had an incredible experience at that school. And he also gave me some great opportunities to play and ended up playing a couple gigs in his band. It was the Michael Mossman and the New York Latin Jazz Orchestra. And we got to share the stage. Actually, David Sanchez was the featured musician in that group. But Eddie Palmieri was on the gig, Paquito de Rivera, and these are all people I grew up listening to. So it was just an amazing experience, having that opportunity in New York. And thanks to Michael Mossman for really kind of, helping out with that. I've met a lot of great musicians who are super helpful. Even when I was there, sat in on a Lincoln Center rehearsal. And Slide Hampton, who's one of my favorite trombone players and composers, arrangers, was there, and they took a break and he was sitting at the piano, and I just kind of walked over and I was like, Mr. Hampton, I said, I just want to thank you for the wonderful music you provide and perform. And he's like, what's your name? And I told him my name. He's like, pull up a chair. And he spent the entire break with me, and he sat there at the piano. He's showing me things. And it was just those kind of experiences that, I carry with me, and I try to instill in the students too, because that's what it has to be about. Is caring for one another and giving back.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what I've learned in most every one of my interviews or meetings with jazz musicians. If I'm writing a story or reviewing our latest release, is they are very quick to appreciate their mentors and quick to appreciate that it's a community. And you depend on one another and you share with one another, and who knows, you might be seeing one another again and recording with one another. So take me out to LA, and how did that transition occur, and what happened there as far as your musical experience is concerned?
So LA was a little bit of a different scene for me. I mean, I was teaching in public schools out there, but also working with like a lot of, you know, pop and rock bands, mm-hmm. funk, you know, doing some things in Santa Monica, but also, you know, playing a lot of corporate gigs and flying out to Vegas and playing gigs out there as well. So there was a jazz scene. There is a jazz scene there, but, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't kind of dabble in that too much when I was in LA. But it was fun. There were a few moments where we got to play with some of the trumpet players from, you know, the Tower of Power group, or the lead trumpet player from the Tonight Show band, Lee Thornburg, was on one of our gigs. And that was just amazing to get to play and meet those kind of musicians. So so definitely had some really positive experiences in LA as well.
Okay, very good. Coming back to this area, of course, as you did, I believe you began working in 2020 at Belmont Public School Systems, or?
Yep, I came back before that. Worked in a few other districts, mm-hmm. And then kind of landed in Belmont, and I'll be entering my fourth year. And it's an amazing program.
Right.
Amazing students, and definitely where I'm going to retire.
Wow, very good. So, yeah. Could you tell us just a little bit about the structure of the music program at the middle school level?
Yep. So from an instrumental standpoint, students start currently in fifth grade. I think our hope is now that they've built the new middle school wing, 7-8, fourth grade will transition into the Chenery Upper Elementary. And I think the goal is to get them started in fourth grade. Again, it used to be fourth grade. And so, but currently it's fifth grade, and they have an opportunity to be in band for all 4 years. We offer Chenery Winds, which is kind of like more advanced wind ensemble after school, which is by audition. And then last year I was offering two jazz groups, one non-audition, which we call Jazz Collective. And that could be anybody, vocalists, bassoon, you know, if you want to jazz, you can be in Jazz Collective. And and then we had more of a traditional big band jazz ensemble that was by audition.
Now, speaking of the jazz component that you just talked about, is there you find a natural progression between students who are advancing more quickly with understanding their instrument, that they find themselves more easily able to take on a jazz component? Or what is, if there is a variable in the type of student that heads in that direction, what would you say that is?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, because if students are taking private lessons, you know, that's an advantage mm-hmm. versus students that are not. But in terms of students that can play jazz, mm-hmm. any of them can play. Right. I mean, if you think about the history of jazz, you know, we had, you know, the Creole musicians and the black musicians.
Yes.
And one was, you know, more trained than the other.
Right.
But everyone could jazz and bring it together. And so I, you know, I never really look at any kind of student of, oh, that's a jazz student, maybe not a jazz student. No, everyone can do this. Okay. And I think it's just, it's developing and inspiring and giving that early passion, you know, try to get them to listen to something that they go, whoa,
I want to
play like that. And that's kind of what, you know, I think we can do with any of them.
So what, being that they are students after all, what type of sort of direction and reinforcements is part of your daily life when you're rehearsing and have expectations? How do you address organizing and delivering the completed composition?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with you know, your relationships with the students.
Right.
I mean, it really has to start there. They have to to feel comfortable and safe and know that you not only respect them, but that you care about them. And they can recognize that. And I think once you've established that culture, now they're ready. And now and then obviously fun has to be the next thing on the list. Like, it's got to be fun.
Right. They've got to they've got to have a passion for it, right, which seems to be the need.
And we can have expectations and but have fun while we're doing it. And so I think every rehearsal has to have that kind of feeling and setting to it. And then they look forward to coming to everyone. But then beyond that, you know, the direction I'm trying to take the program is to really focus on what makes jazz jazz. And I kind of, you know, narrow it down to three categories: improvisation, swing feel, and the blues.
Right.
Now there's, you know, many more components and characteristics of jazz.
Sure.
But that's like the foundation. And right. So in many programs, and I'm guilty of it as well, is that we spend a lot of time reading charts.
Right.
And so, you know, they're not experiencing melody for sometimes. Like if you're playing third trombone, how many times do you get the melody? Probably not often.
Right.
And we want to be melodic and we want to learn those as we go into it. And then only a select few kids improvise.
Right.
And I'm going into it. So I'm looking to kind of redirect it and starting with Jazz Collective, where we focus more on improvisation. Okay. Take away the music.
Right.
Right. Let's use our ears. Let's listen. And let's just go for it. And I think if we start establishing that culture of that, hey, we are improvisers and we're comfortable doing this, then when we pull out a big band chart, it's going to take on a new character.
Right.
And everyone's going to be raising their hand to take a solo. And we want them to learn that language and the basis of this. So it takes time. And yes. I think, as you know, like playing an instrument is very personal. Mm-hmm. You are sharing yourself to others when you perform and when you take a solo.
Right.
That's not easy to do for a middle school student.
Right. Now, certainly from a writer's standpoint, writing is very personal too. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line between editing and criticism, right? So you have a young student who's learning their instrument and their passion about what they're hearing in their head and what they're trying to explore on their instrument. And I guess you have to, as the mentor and friend and instructor, you have to balance kind of how you want to give of constructive criticism per se to a student. So that must be challenging.
Yeah, but but then what I remind them too is like, hey, you know what? If you meant to play that and you had the intent behind it, that's awesome.
Right.
Right. Then we can talk about, but maybe, you know, like we might want to focus on like a third or seventh on this beat as we go into it. You know,
right.
And so then we put it in that perspective, but everything that you mean to do is great. And we all love it. And we support one another when we do it.
Now, are they going to get an opportunity to perform live? I mean, imagine within the school system, but even outside of the school system.
Yeah. So typically, at least, you know, the past 3 years I've been there. And of course I started when COVID was in full swing. So I was actually remote for most of the first year.
Right.
But we have our in-school concerts, but I would like to see about getting them to, you know, play out in the community a little bit more.
Right.
Also like to maybe go to, you know, a festival, you know, UNH, the Clark Terry Jazz Festival is a great one to go to.
Okay.
So yeah, there's more things that we'd like to do.
Good. Now when we talked earlier, you'd mentioned that you developed and arranged a one-off jazz festival for Belmont.
Right.
So during the height of COVID?
Right. So we were remote for, I think, all the way up until March or even April. I can't remember the timeline of that. But when we got back into school, you know, we were all separated 10 feet apart, you know, spread out in an auditorium. And the jazz groups, we started rehearsing outside.
Okay.
And so that way we do it. And I thought, hey, you know, we've got to get some kind of performance together. And so we put together the Belmont Jazz Festival, where we did it outside of Clay Pond, and all three groups performed, and people in the, you know, parents and friends came out, and they all had their beach chairs, and I think it was, for many of us, it was our first experience of being together and sharing something together, which we weren't doing.
Right.
And so it was a very powerful event. It was a lot of work.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
I can imagine.
And everyone enjoyed it, myself included. And by the end of it, I think we were just like, we got to do that again next year.
Right.
And a lot of people were hoping we were going to do it. And we might bring it back.
Okay.
But it was, you know, I think when we came back, we were still dealing with a lot of logistical issues of the COVID still being a factor. And so we held off, but it's certainly an event that, you know, I could see down the road happening again.
Good, because I would be very interested and I'm sure the community would also be interested in and open to, particularly since they are already as a community, supporting, a jazz program through a public school system.
Yep.
So certainly it would seem to me that there might be an opportunity for a regular festival, albeit that puts all the work on you and others within your staff. I was also wondering, in terms of what you've talked about and kind of evolving the existing music program, as you said, some of which specifically relating to improv, getting away from memorization of music sheets and forcing them to maybe move into more of a melody in which they're going to have to be aware of where they are on the music sheet.
Right.
With it not being in front of them.
Yeah. I mean,
so that is part of a process.
It is. So, I mean, you refer to it as rote teaching, and so
right.
You're going to, you know, kind of teach it to them first, you know, listening to it and then phrase by phrase and continue to do that until it is truly internalized.
Okay.
Because if, you know, if we're reading a chart, well, someone else did the work, right?
Right.
You're reading someone else's work. It's like reading a transcription. It's like fun
right.
to play,
right.
but that's not your work. And so that's not part of you. And we need to develop this language and internalize it. You know, I think back to, I think it was a Pat Metheny interview mm-hmm. and he talked about the fact that, you know, before he picked up his guitar, he made sure that he could sing the entire piece.
Okay.
And I was really, you know, yeah. I think I remember describing in his studio, he had like two speakers on both sides of his ears and he would just sit and listen and sing. And then once he did it, picked up his guitar and it was almost like he had played the song before.
Right.
And so I mean, that's pretty advanced and a lot of work,
right.
but that's really the philosophy behind, you know, what we'd like to do.
Right. And do you think the system being the public school system within Belmont is fairly open to have your independent input in sort of directing some maybe program changes that would affect your interest?
I mean, my colleagues, you know, mm-hmm. our supervisor, Otter Asadorian, very supportive. We have parent organization called POMS. They're also extremely supportive. You know, in the process. So, and the parents and the students mm-hmm. are excited to do these things. So, yeah, the support is there.
Okay. And I'm wondering in terms of, say, you're always in any really discipline, you're going to have gifted students, musicians, someone is gifted, they're given a talent that they're just exploding with. They're just realizing what they're able to do. And there's a public school system, of course. Is there a direction that you help them with individually? Because you have to kind of tune into the fact that, okay, this particular student has an enormous amount of talent and they're going to evolve in a different way. And yet you still have the body of the jazz band. And so how do you approach that? Or have you had that issue or?
Oh, you have that all the time.
Okay.
And in
okay.
fact, you know, I'm not going to say music teachers are the best teachers out there, but I mean, we deal with that on a regular basis. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of times you have a span of four grades in your right. ensemble. And so you are going to have multiple levels of students in there. And so it's called differentiated instruction. And that's
okay.
how you approach it. You know, you have to challenge those students, you know, that are on the upper end and help the ones, you know, to bring them together. So that's something we do on a regular daily rehearsal going into it. And yes, certainly the students that are really excelling, you know, outside of the ensemble, you know, I could meet with them, help them, you know, with some other projects and things that they can do to work towards. I encourage different teachers for them to study with.
Okay.
Okay. So there's lots of avenues that we can go.
Okay. And again, you depend to a certain degree on the parent's support and involvement and enthusiasm. So there has to, you're dealing as a, of course, within a teaching role, you have different groups that you have to communicate with. And certainly, I'm sure there's some parental involvement.
Oh, absolutely.
That you're dealing with, you know, probably in some circumstances, parents that have decided that, you know, my son is going to pursue the musical direction in his life with his instrument. Or somebody else says, I just want my son or my daughter to participate, and I want him or her to learn an instrument and to be able to play in a band.
Yep. So you have all.
You have all of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're also a musical instructor. So that's a one-on-one or a small group instructional period that occurs throughout the year.
I don't teach private lessons.
You don't teach private lessons.
At the Belmont Public Schools. I do teach privately outside of Belmont.
Okay.
But no, at the level I'm teaching, because we're shifting buildings and staff has moved around. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a co-teaching model in the past. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic because that gave us an opportunity to say, hey, could you take out the trumpets and work on this section with them? And then that teacher would take them to another spot and then come back. And so, but now in terms of group lessons and things of that nature, we won't be doing that in seventh and eighth grade band, at least for next year.
Okay. Along those same lines, as you look at jazz within a musical program within a public school system, with fighting for budget dollars, as every program seems to be, do you feel that this is a healthy environment right now, that there's enough focus and recognition that music component is important?
Yes.
To the Belmont public school system?
Everybody wants it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the parents want it. The POMS is supportive. Our staff is supportive. And administration has always been behind it.
Okay. Okay. That's encouraging. Good. And I guess harking back to your background to step away from your professional role in the middle school system in Belmont Public Schools, what is the arc for you that took you from picking up your instrument and then, well, landing an opportunity at a very competitive music school, which is Berklee College of Music?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with my parents.
Okay.
You know, my brother and older sisters all played an instrument, and and that was just kind of the thing we did in our household. And so when it came to my turn, I chose the saxophone, and then even right off the bat, you know, I was taking private lessons, which was great. It really provided that confidence for me to develop, and you know, and I really enjoyed it. And as the, you know, my school years progressed, I was like, hey, I can do this. and then by the time I got to high school, I had already been with some amazing teachers, mm-hmm. Jeff Leonard, Mark Pinto, some great teachers, saxophone players. And then of course my band director was amazing as well. And so I just was supported in all directions, from my parents to the teachers. Andover had a great music program as well. So all of those things combined just kind of pushed and encouraged me. And you know, of course, I started auditioning for districts. And so eventually by high school, I was playing in the All-State Jazz Ensemble a couple of years.
Okay.
I think I even did the Berklee 5-week program, you know, one summer. And all of those things just point in the direction of music is what I'm going to do. And of course, then I had the debate with my parents of, well, what do I do with music?
Right.
But I truly wanted to select music education as my degree. Performing was a big part. But, you know, my belief is, you know, if you can play, you don't need a degree to get a gig.
Right.
But I also want to teach. I want to give back, and I want to be a part of that. I've had such great, you know, influence that, you know, it's my turn.
Right.
So I happily went in for music education at Berklee. And then when I did my master's, I did that one in jazz studies. So that was more of a focus on performance as well as composition and arranging. So,
right. So, within your own experience as a music instructor and director of the jazz band at Belmont Middle School System, what is the transition from a student who is really getting it and understanding the music, and he's moved away from rote, from memorization, he or she, and then Do you have students who are beginning to write their own music out of curiosity or out of just personal drive? I mean, middle school is an early period to be thinking in those terms, but I imagine that's maybe rarely.
In the past, I have. In Belmont, not yet. There has been a lot of students at the high school that have started composing and arranging. Mm-hmm. But that's something that, you know, that's part of our standards and expectations is that we want kids writing. And not even just in jazz. We want them writing melodies in band. And so it's a challenge because, you know, in one sense, we're like, well, we've got a concert coming up in 4 months. And so then but we don't want to be concert focused. You know, we're not, you know, here to perform. We're here to learn. Mm-hmm. And so so that's an important component that needs to really start to be building in both programs.
Right. Along those same lines, just for curiosity's sake, what types of compositions, as in the artist and their composition, would you have your students tackle, as it were, over a period of time at the middle school level for a jazz band?
Yeah, I'm blues.
Blues. Okay.
Yeah, I would start off a lot with the blues. Right. In fact, my repertoire selection is centered around that. And we do a lot of listening from that going in there. From that point on, then you start looking at you take standards of really diatonic harmony.
Okay.
And, you know, rather than have them create the chord progression, give them a chord progression that works, and then you start to learn how to write over top of that.
Okay.
And then you can just kind of evolve from there. Okay.
And do you probably get some pushback from students that approach you to say, look, this is my idol, person X, and this is where I'm directed. Can we approach some of his or her compositions? Or, I mean, is there an opportunity to say to your students, okay, so you're working on these pieces. Let me give you a really popular, established jazz piece that you can all kind of say, well, we know and we understand this one.
Yeah. So, well, ultimately, you want to say, go for it.
You want to say, go for it. Right. If you're enthusiastic in that direction, go for that artist.
Right. If this is really, you know, getting you there. But, you know, we can also have a realistic conversation. In fact, this just happened the other day. I'm teaching a jazz combo at the UMass Lowell band camp, which has been a great experience. And there's a baritone saxophone student in there who immediately gravitated to talking about Pepper Adams.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. I said, that's a serious Barry sax player. you know, and in terms of learning language and improvisation, you know, I did say, I don't know if I would start with Pepper Adams, but I would certainly do Pepper Adams while I'm working on, say, some Jerry Mulligan or so something that, you know, is going to really build the foundations. And I think back to one other teacher I had, George Garzone, who talked about, you know, you have to make sure you can play in before you play out.
Right.
And sometimes if we start with just the out, then there's really no intent behind it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to wrap up our interview today. And of course, Ken, I'm going to invite you back and we're going to have an opportunity to have you play and possibly with another student as we progress with this program. But I want to thank you so very much for being here today. I've learned an enormous amount. I'm sure our listeners have, and more positive karma towards your music program, as I am obviously endorsing and feel it's very important for students to have an opportunity to learn this wonderful form of music, whether it is classical or jazz or somewhere in between. So I guess just in closing, please share with me if you're going to be performing locally, and I will certainly make an opportunity to see you perform, and we look forward to having you back here. And thank you for being our first guest on Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. So that wraps it up at this point. And I guess we'll close out with a big thank you. And let's keep jazz strong and certainly in the school system.
Well, I appreciated the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ken.